I want to start with something that we all probably can relate to. Some of you need to go there soon, probably, but you've been postponing that. It's called a place, it's called the dentist. The other day I went to the dentist. It's amazing how you brush your teeth at least 3 times the morning before you go at 12 o'clock. How many of you do that? You know, as if that 3 times of brushing is going to change anything to what's going to happen there, you know. And so this dentist was very nice. It's amazing how he always asks the questions to you when he's fiddling in your mouth and going on and like boring in your mouth and like drilling for, you know, iron or something down there, you know. Then he asks this profound question and you can just go like, ah. It's just, so I had some bad news from the dentist in the fact that my previous dentist wasn't good, so he had to do some other stuff. So I had to go back again. I raised up a whole intercession team for the second time, and then I found out I had to go down to the third time again. But this is actually nice. I actually like the dentist, except, you know, they have these lazy boys that goes down, and then you think like you're going to relax until he gets that stuff out, you know, and it goes like, and it feels like he's drilling into your past. How many of you can relate to this story a little bit, you know? Now, it's amazing when we come to church, when we come to God, we almost feel like sometimes God is like a dentist. He's always got some stuff to fix. And I want to change our perception just a little bit, because if we understand the Father heart of God, and if we understand who God is, then it's not God about it's not about fixing stuff. It's really about knowing God, and it's about being able to walk in the testimony of Christ for our lives. And that's what I'm going to talk about. I trust you're all awake, because we're going to be busy for about 5 hours. If you have chicken in the oven, postpone it. Phone somebody. We are going to lock the doors now, so you're not going to be able to go out. But let's just pray before I talk too much nonsense. Father, we just thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you that we can open up our hearts, Lord, that we don't need to be professional Christians. Because some of us, Lord, even this morning, we try to brush our teeth too many times, our spiritual teeth. But Lord, when we're in your presence, we are lost for words, because you're looking straight into our hearts. And we thank you for the freedom we have this morning to be able, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, give us soft hearts this morning, Lord. Give us hearts that will be like children that believe you're the greatest, you're the best, you're sovereign, you rule over our lives. We thank you for the freedom we have to worship you in this way. And Lord, we come with a boldness to you based on the blood of Jesus, not based, Lord, on our significance or our success or our failures over the past year. We come to you based on the finished work of the cross. And we thank you that we're no longer slaves, but we are sons and daughters of God, and therefore also heirs of God through Jesus Christ. We pray that in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, you are the guest of honor here. And Lord, we just bless you for your presence. Lord, we want to say, like David said, one moment in your presence is better than 1,000 outside. And that's why we're here, Lord, is to encounter you and to know you. Thank you that you open up the word and that you make it alive to us, because Jesus, you are the word. And this morning, Lord, we rid ourselves from any confusion or any fear. And we thank you for your freedom in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. The more you say amen, the quicker the sermon is going to be. Amen. No, that was flow. It's going to be a long sermon, it seems. Okay. I want to start with the story and just share a couple of thoughts with us that God has laid on our heart. And the one is found in John 6. You know, when God comes to us, it's amazing how our culture and the consumer way that we live is all about what we don't have. So if you go to the shopping mall, I don't know if you've been to the shopping mall maybe the past week, but it's crazy. It's crazy how people bump with their trolley into you and don't even recognize it because they're on the way somewhere, you know. But the advertising business, the whole world that we live in, the culture that we live in, is all about giving you stuff or telling that you don't have certain stuff. So we almost come into a place of looking at your marriage, or you're looking at your children, and then we always start to compare with what we don't have. But God comes to us in a different way, and he says, you have to start looking as to what I have given you. And you're going to need to give an account of that. So even over the holiday times, many of us, we just like, you know, we just stop reading our Bible. We just stop everything because we think we must rest. But there's no rest outside of Jesus. There's no rest outside of the Word of God. That's where Christians are different than any other religion. All the other religions talks about meditation and emptying yourself to come to this place. But Christianity is actually about meditating on what God has done, on what God has given you, on what the cross has been doing all these years. And so in John chapter 6, verse 5 to 13, I'm not going to read the whole story, but I just want to highlight one or two things. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, he asked one of his disciples, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. And then one of his disciples, Simon Peter's brother Andrew, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" And then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." And then now there was much grass in the place. And so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So when they were full, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost." And therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. You see, when Jesus comes, we must picture the scene. They've been walking the whole day. They're out there. I love how Scripture talks about, you know, Scripture gives attention to a lot of detail. He says they went to sit at a place where there was a lot of grass. You know, that's going to be really effective in eternity to know that at least there were a lot of grass. Okay, so I don't know what that means, but I love Scripture. It just adds these little stuff, you know. But so we can almost miss the whole story if you don't see what Jesus tried to bring across. His disciples are there, they're very tired, and now the disciples, we've heard this twice, that he multiplied the fish and the bread. But what he did is he said, okay, you know, the disciples said, "Look here, we better get these people back home because, you know, we don't have enough food and we don't have enough money, but there's one little boy that has these fish and bread." And then this scene happens where what this boy has, they have to bring it to Jesus, and then Jesus does something. Jesus gives thanks. And the thankfulness opens up the door for the miracles of God. And if we don't see it, we can almost miss the whole story. Because we think of, oh, you know, how big of your talents and all that stuff. But there's a prayer that Jesus gives, a prayer of thanksgiving. And the moment when he prays over that fish and the bread, he gives it back to the disciples and then it multiplies. Because, you know, what the devil does, the devil is the father of lies. Say, the father of lies. Thank you for enthusiasm. He's the accuser of the brethren. Say, the accuser of the brethren. Okay, so all of us, when we're at home during the week with our families, there's so much accusation that comes our way. Because the devil lies and he accuses. That's his job. Scripture says he day and night accuses the brethren, the Christians. Why? Because if he keeps on accusing you, you start believing what he accuses you of. And then what he does is he makes you focus on yourself and what you don't have all the time. So now you begin to look at your circumstances. Now you begin to look at all the stuff around you. And now you begin to live your relationship with God based on your circumstances and not based on the Word of God and what Jesus says. And that's why when you start to give thanks, then the testimony of God begins to manifest in your life. Are you with me? Hello? Are you out there? Okay. The same with the lepers. There were 10 lepers that came. Jesus healed them. Only one came back. And then Jesus says to this leper, "Look here, go and show yourself to the priest as a testimony to them." The other 9 received the miracle. But you know what? They just received a miracle. They didn't receive a testimony and a powerful supernatural encounter with God. Just the one that came back that understood the principle of thanksgiving, he started to move in the supernatural. And then the priest, many of the priests came to salvation because of that one leper that came back. Because Jesus said, okay, go to them. Go show yourself to the priest as a sign of the fact that I am the Messiah. Are you still with me? Shake your neighbor and say, Chona Machantas. Okay. Let me, I'm just want to share a couple of principles here. In Matthew 25 is a scripture that we like to skip. But read it often. It will bring the fear of God in your life. Okay? Matthew 25 verse 28. It talks about the talents. You know, there are very few stories that is repeated in all the Gospels. One of them is the talents. And it actually uses the same wording with all of them. Now listen to this. In Matthew 25 it says, so take the talent from him. This is now the one guy that hid the talent because he was afraid. He had a perception of the master. And he said, Master, when you come back, you know, you're a man who reaps where you have not sown. And because I have a perception of you, because of that way I see you, I acted in a certain way. Say, the way he saw the master made him act in a certain way. Okay, so here it comes, and now the master comes back, and listen to what the master says, verse 29, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. How can you take away something from somebody that hasn't got anything? Because that's what the scripture says. He says, he who has, more will be given. There will be a principle of multiplication in his life, like we saw with the fish and the bread. But he who does not have, even that what he does not have will be taken away from him. How can you take something from somebody that hasn't got anything? Well, it's talking about perception. This guy actually had a talent, but his perception of that talent was that he didn't have a talent. He didn't have anything. So then the master took it away. So when you and I sit here this morning, there's a lot of lies that the devil brings. And I had a vision when I prayed, and it was followed up by a dream for us this morning. I dreamt that there were some of us that were, there was this little bridge, and the bridge was full of these nuts and bolts, and it was full of rust. You know, when a bolt is iron and it starts to rust, then it starts to drip and it starts to make these marks on the bridge. And there were lots of people on this bridge trying to get new nuts and bolts and trying to fix the bridge. But when they started to unscrew the bolts and the nuts and the stuff, all the planks and the stuff started to grow, came out skew. But they were so busy trying to fix this bridge that they didn't see that there was a massive bridge next to it that people could just walk over. Because they tried so hard to fix stuff which they couldn't fix, which was old. Scripture says you cannot put new wine into old wineskins. So some of us this morning, when we come to God, we need a change of sight. We need a change to see how God sees you and how God sees what he's given you. And even the stuff that's happening this year maybe in your life. Maybe you've went through major, terrible, bad stuff this year. But you need to give that to God because that's your fish and your bread. But see, what we do and what we believe is we say, like the devil says, you know, oh, you know, you're never going to amount to anything. You're not going to have anything. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2. Are you still with me? Okay. Are you still all right? Okay, I saw just one yawn so far, so that's good. That's good. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Say the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be made in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So Paul writes, the most eloquent guy around says, I don't come to you because I can preach great, or because I can say a lot of stuff, or because I've learned all the scriptures, I know everything. He says, what I come to you is I come to you in the power, in the demonstration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I had the privilege 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago to go to America and to look at the church there and to see what's going on. And I was shocked. I was shocked to see the state of the Christians. You know, it's great some places. We went to a place where there's 0% crime. Okay, there's 400,000 people there, and I think one guy beat his wife, but he didn't, when you divide it under the number of people there, it doesn't amount to a percent, you know? So that was like frontline newspaper, you know? And so we started to talk to these people, and we started to realize that comfort, to live a comfortable life, can be your greatest enemy. To get into comfort is so easy. Why? Because a comfortable lifestyle makes you be in control of your life. So sometimes we must thank God for our nation. Instead of complaining. Because there is still fish and bread in this nation. God has placed us here. We can still openly worship God. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. But you know, when Paul comes, he says, I've discovered something. It's not about me. It's not about my greatness. But what I have discovered, I've discovered the power of the gospel. And what has happened to the church in America was a massive shock to me, because they've lost the power of the gospel. Many people have stopped preaching the gospel. The very basics, where the cross is not the center of what they believe anymore. It's all about a feel-good experience. All about how nice God wants to be with you and to you. Sorry, wake up, church. Sorry, it's not going to work like that. And America's in trouble. Why? Because the church is fast asleep. But this morning we can wake up, say amen. Okay? That's why we're here. Not to come to the dentist, but to come to see that God has given you something. And I really want to say that some of us need to repent. Because we always complain as to what we don't have. And how we're not spiritual enough. And how we're not good enough. And then God cannot use us. Why? Because we're always looking at the circumstances instead to God. And say, okay, God, I have one fish, I have one bread. And I want you to use that in my life. Say amen. Okay. The third point I quickly want to make is God makes choices. Listen to this. Jesus says this to his disciples. John 15 verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Say, God chose me. You know, I've this year, must be honest, I've changed a little bit of my perception of God, because it's sometimes very dishonoring and disrespectful to even say, oh God, come into my life. Because God is a bit bigger than mine, your life, would you agree? Yeah? Just accept Jesus and make him part of your personal, he's your personal savior. No, Jesus is sovereign. So there's actually a bit of a difference that needs to happen. Is God actually invites us to his life. God actually invites us to his story. And that's what he says to his disciples. He says, you didn't choose me. Don't think you can make it and say, well, I chose Jesus. You know, we sing this song, this old song, I found Jesus, as if Jesus was lost. Hey, who was lost? Anybody lost out there that Jesus, yeah, Jesus found us? I mean, just raise your hand if we found you. Okay, otherwise we'll pray for you afterwards. Okay, thank you very much. Okay. But he says here, Jesus says, hey, I chose you. You didn't choose me. Don't think, you know, and that's what the world says, and especially in the modern day gospel says, oh, Jesus, come down to my level. Come and serve me so that I can be comfortable. And when I have enough, and when I'm good enough, and when I'm this perfect Christian, then one day, you'll start to use me. So God, first serve my needs before I serve your needs. Do you know that God has got needs? He wants everybody to know him. It's as simple as that. It's not going to add anything to him. His needs is a bit different. Worship doesn't change God. It changes us. Prayer doesn't change God, it changes us. Coming to church doesn't change God, it changes us. Amen? Okay, so we actually need God, and that's what he said here. So that you, and I appointed you so that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. I had a moment, Rudolf was there. Where's Rudolf? When we went to India, to the northern parts of India in June, and we went up into the mountains, and it's like up there, really like remote places. There are many villages and tribes there that's never heard the gospel. And I remember we walked up to this little village. And so now we're going up. And if you understand the Hindu faith, they have got millions of gods. And Jesus is also one of the gods, but just another add-on to their lives. So I remember walking up, and you know, when you get a bit tired and you walk up and then you sort of start to think like, oh, you know, suddenly doubt comes into your mind. And I had sort of one of those doubt moments, just to be honest, just between the two of us, okay? The pastor can doubt sometimes as well. Is that all right? We're just human. I mean, some people are like, you're not coming back to this church next week. But anyway, so I had one of these moments. I went up there and we were walking up, and now we need to go and preach the gospel to these people that have never heard of Jesus. And I was walking up and I was thinking, what a story. A God in heaven sending his son, walking on the earth. It sounds a bit bizarre. How did that happen? Like a God sending, it sounds just like one of the other Hindu gods, you know. And I had one of these moments and I thought like, okay, Lord, how are we going to make this better? How are we going to what angle are we going to take? Because immediately you try to do something in your own strength. Yeah, you try to bring the gospel down to your level and my level, or to the people's level, so that we think maybe they're going to understand it better. But we went up, and then at a place, I just came out of my heart and I said, okay, God, I don't know. All I know is your word is the truth. And what you said in the gospel is still the same. It has never changed. It will still change lives. And then you know what happened is we just took the guitar, not me, the other people, and God said, start to worship me. So we started with four people. You can ask Andre there. He was there too. So wave at us. Just tell them if I lie, okay? We're coming out in this little village, and we started to worship. And there were just three or four people. Eventually, the whole village came out. Everybody came. People got healed. People just like, we haven't even preached the gospel. We just lifted up Jesus in the middle of that place of people that's never heard the gospel. I think there was one or two of the elders that when they were 10 years old, they heard the gospel. But here in the most remote place, we lift up Jesus and then suddenly people are drawn to him. Suddenly people came out, and just even the elders, because they're still like that. When you came to the city, all the elders stand outside at the gates of the city and they check who's coming in, the old women, you know. I love that because it's so great about many of these cultures that we've lost. You know, we take the old people and put them somewhere in a little house because we're ashamed of them. These other cultures are the real cultures where you actually, you know, there's respectful stuff for all the old people. Can everybody over 65 say amen? Okay, thank you very much. We respect you. We love you, okay? We need you, especially in the church. But so yeah, the people starts to get healed. And just like we start to pray and then, you know, the Lord says to me, hey, that guy, one of the first years, he must preach the gospel, yeah? And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, you know, we must probably get the strongest guy, you know? And that guy just confessed yesterday of his confusion and all this stuff. But then he stood up and he just started to share. And it's so amazing. It's like medicine. It's like healing power. It's like the kingdom of God coming straight into that place. Why? Because Jesus has never changed. And he cannot change. His gospel is still the same. And that's why God says, I've chosen you to bear fruit, and fruit that will remain in and out of season. Can somebody say amen? Okay, who gives me another 10 minutes? Just raise your hand. Okay, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. Okay. We've got lots of hours to go. Okay. Second last, you always fall for that. Okay. See, and in John chapter 10, Jesus says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I've come that they may have life and that they have made in abundance. God is committed to abundant life. God is talking about that place of multiplication. When Jesus walks into your life, whatever you give him, but you must give him something. Give him a seed. Give him something in your life. Start to rejoice over this holiday and over this time. Make a list of the stuff that God has done in your life. Make a big party. Throw a little party like that woman that lost the coin. I'm always amazed. You know, she lost the coin. Then she calls all of her friends together. She says, come, let's go have a party. The party probably cost more than what the coin was worth. But she understood the principle. Rejoice. Give thanks. Because that opens the door for God to start to do stuff in your life. But scripture says sweet and bitter water cannot come from the same fountain. God cannot bless people that are negative and critical and always know what they're against but not what God has given them. And that's what Jesus did with these disciples, with these 12 disciples. Because you'll notice that story. It says, Jesus said, don't lose one of the fragments. Don't lose one of the pieces of bread. Pick all of it up when we finish. Why? Because there were 12 baskets left. And those 12 disciples had to carry those 12 baskets all the way back, not losing one piece. And I can just imagine them have to consider having a testimony all the way back home with their basket. Wow. You know, when we were at Angus's Mighty Men, I think it was in 2009. I'll never forget it. I was in the kitchen with the ladies making the food. And that was, I think it was 2008 when they made this bunny chows. Who was there? They gave people a piece of bread and they put meat in there. They slaughtered like 30 cows or something like that. So we were in the kitchen before the time, and I remember Angus and the leaders and everybody was standing there, and then the people making all the food came and said, look here, we've got a problem. We only made food for 7,000 people, but there's more than almost 10,000 people that came. So people are going to need to eat a little bit less. So please, Uncle Angus, would you just tell the people not to go for seconds, and you know, and so they were like, you know, saying little this, little that, you know. Then he came the first evening of the conference, and he stood up and he said, welcome to my and Jill's farm. You're so welcome here. There's just one rule over this weekend. Eat as much as you want to. Eat till you're filled, you know. Just eat. Don't waste anything. Just eat as much as you want to, yeah. And I can just imagine, I didn't talk to them then, but all the people in the kitchen just go, oh, you know. It's called faith. Yeah? It's called when you deal with God stuff. You know, they provided three meals, and there were 36 baskets full of food left over after that weekend. God still does it. I mean, but will you allow him? Because he's committed to abundance. But there's something in your heart and my heart that he wants. He wants to take out that negativity. He wants to take out the fear. He wants to take out the rejection, the failure, and the stuff. Listen to this. In Revelation 19, verse 7, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Say, his wife has made herself ready. Thank you for enthusiasm. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts, so righteous acts of the saints. And then he said to me, right, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I'm your fellow servant. And this is now God standing and the angel standing. And of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus, say the testimony of Jesus. Then he says, worship God. Okay, great, great. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So right here at the end of Revelations, we see this, you know, and I've had the privilege last night. We did a wedding as well, just outside here at the Miller's place, you know. And my wife and I have been at many weddings. Like, I've done 227 weddings since 2002 because of the students that we work with. They come through. And it's just amazing every time when people get married, there's a testimony of Jesus in that place. There's when God's children come together in covenant with him, there's something that happens. There's something that just not just binds people together and makes them survive, but there's a spirit of prophecy. Now, prophecy isn't this, like, you know, we always think in terms of prophecy is like God speaks over your life and he says, okay, one day, 20 years from now, you're going to be a great this and you're going to be a great that. And many of us get stuck there. We say to God, God, show me where I'm going to be in 10 years from now. And then when you've shown me, then I'm going to start to follow you. But God doesn't work like that. You know, God says, I'm going to show you enough to walk in right now so that you can act in faith and by obedience. Because he's not going to give you the end result. Otherwise, you and I are going to mess it up. Huh? We're going to try to do it in our own strength. But the spirit of prophecy is something that has been lost to the church. Prophecy means to edify, to exhort, to build up. That's what 1 Corinthians 14 says. But here it's something bigger. It's called the spirit of prophecy. It's not the gift of prophecy. It's the spirit of prophecy. It's something that connects us to the heart of Christ. But it's always connected to this marriage, this place of covenant, this place of where we walk into that place and we can begin to speak life. See, you cannot speak life over somebody else if your heart is full of turmoil and full of negativity and full of bitterness and full of envy and full of strife. God wants to rid us from that. Why? Because the bride is making herself ready. He says, you just make sure, you make yourself ready. There's a marriage of the Lamb that's coming. Jesus is coming. And that's why as Christians, we have this one big hope, this one joy. It's an eternal hope. It's not based on our circumstances. It's not based on what you and I see or what we experience or even the negative stuff around us. It's based on that one day when Jesus is coming back as the bridegroom to fetch his bride. And then there'll be worship. Worship, only one will be worshipped in heaven. You will not be worshipped. I will not be worshipped. The car we drive will not be worshipped. Whatever the house we stay in, it cannot be. There's nothing that will be worshipped in heaven except one. And his name is Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's where you and I can practice in this life. It's called worship. It's called thanksgiving. It's called surrendering our lives to that place so that the prophecy, the spirit of prophecy can happen and we can begin to speak God's life over people around us. Because more than ever, you're going to see in this year coming, people just going to get more negative. They're going to get more bitter. And if we join that, we fall into this massive trap that we withhold God from being able to do miracles through your life. So Jesus always comes over and over. Whether you're 20 years old, whether you're 10 years old, whether you're 78 years old, he always comes to you and then he first asks you, who do you say that I am? And then the second question he asks you is, what have you got in your hand? I want to multiply that when you give it to me. What have you got? Don't look at what somebody else has got. Don't look at what their calling is. Don't look. Just what have you got? What have I given you? I want to multiply that. I want to create an abundance. Whether it's a small testimony, whether it's a huge testimony. You know, Yaku sitting here is a testimony of God's faithfulness. Yeah. At a stage we thought he's not going to be around anymore. A couple of times. You know, when we visited him there in the hospital, he was just like, oh, drugged all over, you know. He called me Peter. Yeah. I said, okay, that's fine. No, I'm just joking. Okay. But it's amazing when I look at him, every time I see him, I say, there's a testimony. And I celebrate that. Because wow, it reminds me of who God is and God's faithfulness. But the devil wants to do one thing in your life. He wants you to question God's character. So that when you come to God, it feels to you like you always come to the dentist. I need to be professional, so it means I need to brush my teeth. When I come to God, I need to be sorted out before I go. And then when I get there, I'm going to sit in the lazy boy, and then when I'm relaxed, then God is going to hold stuff against me. Because God actually wants to sort out issues in my life all the time. That's why the devil breaks down family relationships and especially the heart of the father so that we question the character and the goodness of God. And once he's got you there, you cannot believe. You cannot believe in multiplication. That's why so many Christians are barren. Not just physically, but spiritually. They cannot reproduce. Why? Because the devil has come to steal something in their spirits. It's called the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus. So in this time, if you're struggling with this, if you're struggling to connect with God, just start to thank him for the cross. Come to the cross. That's where life starts. That's why we're going to worship him for the rest of our lives as the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. When we come to the cross, we begin to see what he's done for you, what he's done for me. The fact that he hung there and he died for you. The fact that he's the only one that can forgive sins, that can release us from condemnation and shame and accusation. He says, look here, you don't need to fix that old bridge. There's a new one that's been built long ago. Just open up your eyes and start walking on that bridge. I've got good news for you. God is not into panel beating. Jesus said, I've come to make everything new. He gives us new life, new hope, new joy. It doesn't matter what you've done wrong over this year. But again, what is your perception of this God? It's time that you bring your fish and your bread and you start to pray and say, Jesus, I want to give thanks. So that when you pray that prayer of thanksgiving, then it's going to start to multiply. Even the little that I have. Even the small stuff, God, it feels, there's a lady here that feels, not just one, but there's some people here that woke up in this week, this past week, very lonely, and you felt very insignificant. This was the question in your heart. What has my life amounted to? What have I done of real significance? And it's gone through your life and through your heart and through your emotions this past week. I'm going to ask you to be very bold. I'm going to ask those people to stand because I want to pray for you quickly. You've been asking questions about just significance and what have you got? I haven't got enough. The Lord is about to take your nothing when you give it to Him and make it something. Ladies, I want you to come to the front. I want to pray for you. There's more people. I want you to come quickly. You've been struggling with those questions of insignificance. And as you're coming, Jesus is going to heal you. He's going to do something in your heart. Because that's just how He is. He takes our nothingness. There's somebody here that has been doubting just life, whether you can actually still live and whether there's somebody in the massive war of just whether you're still going to live this next year. I want you to come to the front as well. Because, you know, Jesus is life. He doesn't pray a little prayer of life. When He comes to us, He gives us life. He gives us Himself. And when we encounter Him, lady, then do you know what happens? We receive life in abundance. All the fears, all the stuff. Lady, stop fearing. There's been voices that people have been speaking over you for many years, but Jesus is delivering you today. And He's saying in front of all of these people, He's not ashamed of you, will never be, because you're His princess. And He knew what happened there where you were 7 years and 9 years old and those people spoke that stuff over you. It's Afrikaans, English speaking. That doesn't mind. Zulu, Khoza. Okay. But I just want to say in front of all of these people that God puts a new crown on your head today. And He's going to use you especially in intercession. Can I have just some ladies just pray here and just hold all these ladies. Father, we thank You right now. We thank You, Lord, that all the voices stop. We thank You, Jesus. All the condemnation that says she's not good enough. Lord, those voices that has been speaking to her, Lord, that even people close to her have spoken over her. And over her family, Lord, I break the curse of shame over her family, Lord. And when she was young, Lord, when those people threw that stuff into their backyard and all of that stuff, Lord, and it was such a mess, Lord, and she just wanted to run away. And when she hid under the tree, You saw her. When she always went to hide, Lord, You saw her and You smiled over her. And thank You today for Your healing. Thank You, Lord, that You make all things new, Jesus. Thank You for Your touch. Thank You for Your healing. Thank You for Your restoration. Want some more ladies? Talita, so you just come and pray here with some of these ladies. Father, we just thank You for Your release today. Lord, she's been carrying a lot of burdens, Lord. Just so much, so many burdens. But Jesus, I pray for the joy of her salvation. So devil, You will not have her life. You will not come to tell her that she will die young. But she will know You. Lord, that thing of death that has been hanging over her and over her family, Lord, that she's going to die young. Lord, we break it in Jesus' name. And Lord, today we remove the sword. And today, Father, we thank You for a freedom. I want everybody just to pray, just stretch out your hands. And we're just praying for these people right now. Father, we thank You. Jesus, thank You that You make all things new. And Lord, sometimes it feels to her like, Lord, there's a massive vase that has broken and all the pieces are scattered all over, Lord. But today, Lord, You're making it new and you're giving a life. Life, Jesus. You are that life. Thank you for virtue. Thank you for virtue in Jesus' name. Thank you for healing, O Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you right now. I want us just to pray for a moment. Praise if it's you that has that need. There's some people that are here that are going under immense confusion and doubt about your belief, about whether you actually know Jesus. I want you to come to the front quickly. I want you to come and stand here. We're going to pray that that anchor of your soul will be established. I want you to come quickly. Come. Let's all stand. And if there's doubt or confusion in your life, I don't want anybody to talk right now because we can feel Jesus is here and he's starting to heal people. So will you just stand with us just for a moment? If you're struggling with doubt or confusion, and there's been some waves hitting at you about you love Jesus, you're really in love with him, but you've stopped reading the word, you've stopped just plugging into him because of just wave upon wave. I want you to come right here to the front. We want to pray for you. Can you ladies just stand a little bit to the front as we're going to just pray? Because we're going to just pray for you. Sometimes we go through seasons like that in our lives and then we need each other. Where we question, where the devil has thrown everything at us to question the will of God and the purpose of God. So Father, right now we just thank you that you calm every storm. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that you'll be more real to them, Lord, than the clothes that they wear and their own breath. Jesus, I pray that you occupy their thoughts and you'll start to take control of their thoughts again, God. No more fear, no more anxiety. But right now we pray just for your healing to come, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What has been stolen, Lord, you're going to restore a hundredfold to her. Lord, that person that she's been praying for is going to come back. Lord, no more broken relationships, no more cycles of shame in relationships. Father, she's been praying. You've been seeing the tears in her heart. You've been seeing the tears that she's been crying. And at a stage, she stopped crying, Lord, because there was no tears anymore. But Jesus, pray that you give her those tears again. But that you come and wipe them, Lord, and you restore. You make it fountains of life. The Lord says your tears has been precious to him. Those things that you've cried, lady, those desires in your heart, it's been precious to him. There's nothing like that when we come as broken vessels, because that's why Jesus died. There's a guy here that has done something this year. You're struggling. Maybe there's more than one. You're struggling to forgive yourself. It sort of reached a climax this year, but it's been coming like cycles over your life. There's certain people that's really struggling, but there's one guy specifically, you're struggling to forgive yourself. And you're holding these things against you, and you're always thinking about what if. And it's also connected with some people. You've been thinking a lot this year as to who's going to come to my funeral. That was the thoughts. You're beginning to think like, who'll show up? Who'll actually come? If that's you, I want you to come to the front quickly because we want to pray for you. But there's one specific guy that I need to pray for today. But if there's more, I want you to come quickly. This is not about shame today, people. This is about healing. I want you to come quickly if that's you. If you've been thinking a lot about who's going to come to my funeral and you can't forgive yourself, it's just like you're so tough on yourself, but you can't. And therefore, it's really difficult for you to connect with Jesus, to see him, to see the Father as the one who's got open arms that wants to heal you and restore you. Then I want you to come quickly. I know there's a bit of a war going on because this is not an easy thing. It's easy to forgive other people. It's very difficult to forgive yourself sometimes. But God says you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. There must be a place of respect for where you're at and what God has called you to do. Because he sees you as that fish and bread. He wants to multiply you. Your life has made you significant. If you're struggling with rejection, fear of failure, insignificance, and that's been like cycles in your life, I want you to come to the front quickly because we're going to pray for you. We're going to just say, God, thank you. Thank you. It's little. It's actually nothing. But you don't see it as nothing. Quickly, I want you to come. I want us to respond quickly. And then the last group we're going to pray for, It's just people that are in need of Jesus. Because maybe somebody dragged you here and said, oh, we're going to go to church, and you got the shock of your life when the people started to lift their hands in front of you and play drums in church or anything like that, you know? When I came to a church like this the first time, I thought people are going to slaughter me. I thought, like, behind that curtain, they've got, like, slaughtering altars, you know? I still prayed. I said, Jesus, just take me alive out of this church, you know? I'll serve you for the rest of my life. I don't know where you're at, but all I know is Jesus is knocking at your door. Don't ignore him, because it's life. He is life. So if you need to just renew your commitment to Christ, if you need to say to him, Jesus, I've just this year, I've strayed so much from you, and I'm still running away. I'm still ignoring your knock. It's actually talking to Christians, not to non-Christians in Revelation 3. It says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. There are many Christians or people that see themselves as Christian. Jesus is standing outside your door and he's knocking today and he says, I want to come in. I want to feast with you. I want to eat with you. I want you to have a meal with me. It talks about intimacy. So we're going to start to sing a song. If you are here, one of those groups that you have just strayed from your relationship with Christ and you want to renew that relationship today and say, Jesus, I want to make you number one again with no number two. Or you know that Jesus is standing outside the door. You're doing all the right stuff. You're polishing your teeth. When you come to church, just before you read your Bible, but you've got a bit of a dentist relationship with Jesus, with the Father. I tell you, you're in trouble, because that's not the real Jesus. He says, I invite you into my life because I am life. Let's just all close our eyes and I'm going to finish in a prayer and then we're going to just worship the Lord. If you want to drink some coffee afterwards, please be silent because we're going to minister to people. If you're sick in your body, we want to pray for you because Jesus still heals. There's a lady here that's been diagnosed with intense stuff and it's been manifesting in your skin and the Lord wants to heal you today. And there's a guy here who's got immense back problems. There's actually more than one. One guy's actually gone for operation in your knees, both of your knees as well. And you're struggling. You've been struggling to sleep this week and Jesus wants to heal you. Amen. He's still the same. When he comes on the scene, he heals and he restores. So Jesus, that's what we ask in this time, Lord. We're going to stop ignoring you. But I pray for each one here today, Lord, that we will bring our fish and our bread back to you. Lord, we repent as a nation of complaining. Because as Christians, we cannot complain, God. Because we have life. Life is not about our circumstances. Jesus, life is about you. You are that life. And this morning we confess again, you are the way, the truth, and the life. The thief has come to steal and to kill and to destroy, but you've come to give life and life in abundance. And today, Lord, we bring you our humanity. We bring you our confusion. We bring you our fears. We say we want life, Jesus. In this time, Lord, we're not going to switch off from you. We're not going to, Lord, live as if you don't live. Because really, we can't live without your life. You are that life. You are our living breath. And I pray, Lord, for everybody here today for renewed strength and a renewed courage. I pray, Lord, for a heart of thankfulness, a heart of rejoicing. Lord, that we can even bring our pain to you and we can rejoice always. Because, Lord, the cross is at the center of our lives. Lord, I pray for the testimony of Jesus and the spirit of prophecy to be released in people's mouths again as we walk out these doors, that we'll begin to speak your life and we'll begin to encourage and we'll begin to lift up. Holy Spirit, take hold of our mouths. Take hold of our bitter hearts. Take hold, Lord, of the stuff, Lord, that we so hold, Lord, between us. And then we think, Lord, like that dentist that you just, Lord, you always got issues with us. But today, Lord, you're the gentle healer. You're the restorer of our hope and the restorer of our joy. You're the comforter. Jesus, you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want you, where you're just standing, I want you just to worship him for a moment. I want you to invite the spirit of prophecy into your life. Because some of you are going to make a switch right now in your heart. Lord, I pray that accusation and that pointing of the finger against your people will stop. That it will be exposed when the devil comes to tell us always how bad we are. Because God, you don't speak in language like that. You speak in invitation. Lord, there's some people that you've given promises to years ago, Lord, and it feels like those promises have died. Feels like it's seed that's been in the ground, but God, you've been looking over that seed. You've been watching over that seed, and you'll multiply it, God. Today, we give you our pain. We give you our thankfulness. We give you our thanksgiving. We give you our worship. We say, Jesus, you're the only one worthy to be worshipped. Won't you, just where you're standing, just for a moment, just worship him. Say, Jesus, you are worthy to be worshipped. I worship you as part of your bride. I worship you as the Lamb upon the throne. The one who was and who is to come. Jesus, you are holy, holy, holy. And this morning, Lord, we give you our thanks. We give you our year. We give you next year. We give you our lives, Jesus. We cannot do anything else but respond by saying, here we are, Lord. Take this mess and make it a message. Take this test that we went through and make it a testimony, God. Take our lives, Lord, and glorify yourself. That in this year, we'll become that fish. We'll become that bread. Lord, that we'll walk away with baskets full of bread. Lord, some of us have been going through lots of discouragement and lots of disappointment and hopelessness. But this morning we look to you as the anchor of our souls. We refuse the lies of the devil. We refuse to walk in the land of regret. We refuse, God, but we ask that you forgive us. Because we've become a nation, Lord, so negative, so bitter, so full of our pain, that we've forgotten the cross. But today we hang that pain on the cross. Heal us, Jesus. Heal our land. Heal our nation. We need healing, Lord. We need racial healing. We need, Lord, reconciliation. But it's only found in Christ. It's not found in schemes or plans or new this or new that, Lord. We need you to give us hearts like children again so that we can see what you are doing. You're always moving, God. Here we are, we're following you, Jesus. If you have the boldness, I know I'm taking a bit of time, but I want you just to put your hand on somebody next to you, and I want you to pray. I want you to pray, prophesy over them. Say, Lord, I thank you for this woman of God. Lord, I thank you for this man of God. Lord, I thank you for you. I thank you, Lord. You're going to use him as a leader. I thank you, God, for Gideon, that you're going to raise him up to be a strong warrior for you. We have to speak life. This is where it starts. This is where the fountains of God begins to be released. I don't want anybody, just for a moment, just lay hands on somebody and just speak life. I know some of you are a bit tired, but that's what church is about. It's not about just listening to a sermon. It's about responding. Lord, I bless him with a good marriage. Lord, I bless him with financial breakthrough, Father. No more lies, no more torment, no more accusation. Oh, Lord, he's got just one half a fish, but Lord, you can fish, you can at least feed 1,000 with that half a fish. Lord, we refuse the lies. Lord, we're not going to be like the Jews in the Old Testament that just stayed behind. They never entered into the promised land because they just looked at the giants. Lord, we're not going to look at the giants. We're going to look at you, because there's a promised land. We want to thank you for that freedom today. Make your bride ready, Jesus, for your return. Give us an eternal perspective again. So we're going to continue just worshiping the Lord. If you have any prayer needs, won't you just come to the front? You're welcome to drink some coffee at the back. And there's a service on the 25th. So you're welcome to bring your family that never comes to church. Bring them all so that they can see the Lord. But we don't want you to talk in here. There's some people just worshiping God. So let's continue worshiping. If you want to fellowship at the back, we just worship.